Today's Shiddur Masechta Maariv, Katan Daf Chaf Gimel. We will get on Daf Chaf Beis, Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. At the end of our previous year, we had been discussing Hilchas Kriya. And our Gemara continues to discuss Hilchas Kriya Al Chacham. Not just Kriya, but more Chalitza. We spoke about in the previous Shiurim that in those days, part of what they did as a Veilim was to take off the clothing from the shoulder. So says the Gemara, of a Chacham who is appointed to answer questions to Paskin Shilas, we do Chalitza Mimin on the right side. Allah Bezdin, if an Abezdin passes away, we do it Mismol on the left side. I saw two Pshatim in the Rishonim, why the Abezdin, who's considered more significant than the Chacham, we do on the left side. One reason is because the left side is facing the heart. So we do chalitza on the side, we do this chalitza on the side that faces the heart to show how our heart is mourning the death of such a great individual. Another pshat that I saw is that sometimes people in those days did not wear have their clothing in the sleeves on both sides. Sometimes they only had it on one side. And it was more likely to have it in the right, to have your sleeve in on the right side than on the left side. And therefore you did chalit, and it was more likely to have your sleeve in on the left side than on the right side. So therefore you did the chalitza that way to show it was more noticeable that you were doing this act in honor of the nifter. Al Nasi, and somebody who's a Nasi, so that is even a higher level, we do on Mikan and Mikan from the left side and the right side. Tarabonim, Chacham Shemes, if a Chacham passes away, Beis Medrash Bottle. The people don't come to the shul during those days. We want them not to come to learn. They should rather spend the time saying Hespedim on the Nifter. That's what should be done during those 7 days. If the Abezdin is Nifter, all of the schools in that community, in that town, are closed. In those times, they had shuls, but the Medrash where they learned, but the Knesses where they davened. The Bati Knesses were opened during this week. The Bati Medrash were closed to show that when the Abezdin is Nifter, we don't know how to learn anymore. He was the one that showed us how to learn, and now we've lost that ability. But they entered the shul to daven. However, they switched seats. Everybody changes seats. And I saw the Kavanah Sanal explains to show that we don't know where we stand. We don't know the difference between right and left once this person passed away. Nasi Shemes, when the Nasi is Nifter, Beis Medrash Kulam Betalim, all of the Bati Medrash are closed. Obnei Knesses, and the people who daven in a shul, the Knesset Beis Knesses, they do enter the shul. The Kavanah L'Shiva, they have to have Kriyas HaTorah. So since they have to have Kriyas HaTorah, they don't close the shul entirely. Kriyas HaTorah, we know, is a mitzvah that it could only be performed b'tzibur. So that's why they keep the shul open for the Shiva Kruim, the Yotzin, and then they leave, and they don't even daven b'minyan in the Beis HaKnesses. Rather, everybody davens b'yichidus at home. Warns us when we say that the Beis HaKnesses is closed and certainly the Beis HaMedrash is closed, the purpose is it's not that they should be able to go and walk in the street. Ella Yoshvim, they should sit, every family should sit separately and remain silent and in mourning for this loss that we have suffered. In the home of an Avel, we don't say over Agadata, because Agadata Gemaras are very interesting, and people get involved in the Agadata Gemara. And once they get involved in the Agadata Gemara, they're not going to properly think about the Nifter, and we want them to be focused on the Avelis. Amr Lavar Rav Chanani ben Gamliel, Shaya Amr Shmu of Agod of Beis Avel, that he did so even in Beis Avel. He felt that that was the way that they would get people to be focused better. Now here we see that we're supposed to be thinking, in the home of the Avel, we're supposed to be thinking about the Avel, not about Torah, not about other things as well. Tana Bonin, Avel, Shabbos Rishonah, the first week, any Yotz Mepasach Beisai. He doesn't leave his home, even to go to shul. He sits at home, does that because we want that he should not forget his Avelis. And that's why it's important that he not leave his home. However, the Trumas Hadeshin says that this halacha is only during the week. On Shabbos, he is allowed to go to shul, because as we've been learning, the halacha is that there's no Avelis beferesia on Shabbos. However, there are those that actually, the Ravid and other Rishonim, explain that our Gemara is actually talking about Shabbos. And the Brice is coming to teach us that even the first Shabbos, he's not allowed to go to shul. But that's not our minig. Our minig is that on Shabbos, the Avel does go to shul. So again, any Yotz Beis HaKnesses, the halach is that he doesn't go out of his home. However, the Mordechai says that if, let's say, he was summoned to the king or to the president, that's not called that he's going Yotz Mepesach Beisai. Yotz Mepesach Beisai means that he's going out of his home for his own personal needs. But if he's going out for community matters, then the halacha is that he may go. The Ran says, what is the halacha if, Rachman Slan, somebody is sitting Shiva, is he allowed to go out to the Levaya? So the Ran says that the first 3 days of the Shiva, which as we've been learning, are more serious, he shouldn't even go to a Levaya. The Chasam Sofer disagrees, and he says that if it's a relative, he may go to the Levaya. Furthermore, there are Rishonim that say that he should not even go out for Tzorich Mitzvah. However, if he's a Moyel, and there's no one else available to do the Bris Milah on this child that was born, then he may go do the Bris Milah. Other Paiskim are even more lenient, and they take the opinion that if it's a Tzorich Mitzvah, it's similar to what we said about going to see a government official. If he's not going out for his own benefit, he's going out for the benefit of a mitzvah, that's not called that he's going out for his own benefit, and he may go out even during the Shiva. So again, says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Avol Shabbos Rishonah, and Avol the first week, Eino Yotze Mepesach Beisai, he doesn't leave his home. Shnia, the next week, Yotze, he could leave, but however, Eino Yotze Mekayim, when he goes to shul, he shouldn't sit where he normally sits. The way most Rishonim explain, there was a place in the shul that was designated where the Avelim sat. Shlishis, the third week, Yoshev B'mekaymai, he may sit in his regular seat, Vayna Medaber, but he's not allowed to speak. He should remain silent. Revius, the fourth week, Harei Kukol Odom. He's like everyone else. Rav Yudaima, L'Hitzchalayim Shabbos Rishon, L'Yetzu B'Pesach Beisai. It was understood that the first week he's not allowed to go out, because as we've been learning, Shrei Yukol Nechnosin L'Bayis L'Nachmai, everybody comes to Menachem Avol Him. So if everybody comes to Menachem Avol Him, he's certainly not leaving the home when people are coming to see him. El Shnia, he says like this, that the second week, any Yotz Mepesach Beisai, he doesn't leave his home. Shlish is the third week, Yotz, he goes to shul. However, any Yosh Mekaymai, he doesn't sit in his regular seat. Revius, the fourth week, Yosh Mekaymai, he could sit in his regular seat. However, Ena Medaber, he may not speak. Chamishis, Harei Kukol Odom, he's allowed to be like everybody else. What we see from here is that the first week, the Gemara says he obviously stays home because people are coming to be Menachem Avol Him. So I saw that the Shalos Tshuvos Magen Shaul says, from here is a raya that you're allowed to be Menachem Avol a person even during the first 3 days of the Avelis. Because the Gemara says that the entire first week, people are coming to be Menachem Avol Him without differentiating what day of the week it is. Tana Rabbanan. says the Gemara, if somebody lost a son, a brother, the first 30 days, l'nesuim, that he's not allowed to get married during those 30 days. Meisa ishtoi, if Rachman Tzlan, somebody lost a wife, also lisa isha acheres, he's not allowed to marry another wife, achi avar lov shalosh regalim, he's not allowed to marry another woman until shalosh regalim pass. And there are a number of reasons given by the Rishonim why he may not get married for shalosh regalim. One pshat is that he should be bavelis. He should be mourning the loss of his wife. Another pshat is that even though the avelis and a wife, Rachmanot Tzlan, is only 30 days, but it takes time to forget the first wife. And we don't want him to get remarried until that time passes that he's starting to forget the first wife. And a third pshat, a similar pshat, is that if he's going to get married to a new wife so quickly, he's going to start comparing the wives, and the second wife is going to tease him about the first wife, and he may say something to the second wife about the first wife, and we don't want that to happen. So therefore, the halacha is that we should wait for Shalosh Regalim. But as Tosfos clearly indicates, this is the halacha regarding getting remarried. The halachas that we're speaking about are not regarding Hilchos Avelos. As far as Hilchos Avelos are concerned, the halacha is that a wife is not like a parent, and the Avelos ends after 30 days. I saw an interesting pshat from the Chiddush Eran. The Chiddush Eran says that the reason he should wait for Shalosh Regalim is that, as we learned when we learned Masecht Rosh Hashanah, regarding the din of Baal Ta'achar, that if somebody makes a neder, by when must he pay that neder? So we learned that halacha is Shalosh Regalim. The Gemara says, Ba'avoyin Nedarim, Meisa Ishta Shel Adam. A person loses his wife if he's not careful in the Nedarim. So that's why, because the death of a wife is so connected to the Nedarim, which, as we just said, are so connected to the Shalosh Regalim, that's why we wait Shalosh Regalim. There is a big machlokes Rishonim that what are considered Shalosh Regalim. A Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur also considered Shalosh Regalim. So some say, yes, as far as this halacha is concerned, it's also Shalosh Regalim. Tosfos disagrees, because Tosfos says, as we just said, the halacha is that the point of the Shalosh Regalim is that the person should forget or begin to forget his first wife. And if we're going to say Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are considered regalim, so Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot all are within a month. So that means that he could get remarried within a month, which is, of course, difficult to say. On the other hand, the Chasam Sofer says, once a year passes, even if it isn't Shalosh Regalim within that time period, he says it could happen in a leap year. Once 12 months pass, under all circumstances, the halach is that he could get remarried. Rabbi Yudaima, regular Rishon Aser, regular Rishon Vesheni, the first two Yom Tovim after the passing of his wife, he may not get remarried. Shlishi, but before the third Yontif comes, Mutter, he may get remarried. Furthermore, says the Gemara, Vimeloi Bonim, if somebody doesn't have children, and as the Rishonim point out, when the Gemara says here, he doesn't have children, it means that he was not Mekayim Mitzvahs per Rivia. And that means if his children didn't have children, the opinions that say he wasn't Mekayim Mitzvah per Rivia. Or even if he had children, and Rachman Tzlan, the children passed away. So at this point, because they passed away, he has not fulfilled the mitzvah per Rivia. Then the halacha is mutar lisa l'altar. He can get married immediately. Mishum bittul per Rivia. We want to be able to have children, and he can get married right away. Of course, Rabbi Tam points out that when we're saying that he's allowed to get married immediately, it means after the Shiva. Even if we're allowing somebody to get married quickly in order to fulfill the mitzvah, a Pirei Rivia, that doesn't, of course, allow him to get married during the Shiva. Other Rishonim say that maybe even during the Shiva, difficult to understand. Hanichlei Banim Ketanim, if his wife passed away and there were young children left over, mutar lisul alter, he too may get married immediately, mnei panasason, because he needs a wife to help him raise these children. And the Gemara says, in fact, ma'aser shmeisa ishtel sheYosef haKohen, there was an episode where Yosef haKohen's wife passed away, and he asked her sister at the cemetery, l'chi ichpanasi, as b'nei chaysayich, your nephews and nieces who are young, your yosaimim, need to somebody to take care of us. Let's get married. Vavim came, but says the Gemara, even though they made that agreement, lebala is man meruba, he did not have relations with her immediately. Mila's man meruba. So ask the Gemara, what does that mean that he waited to have relations? Says the Gemara, ad lachas shloshim yoyim. They had to wait for shloshim yoyim to have relations. So Rav Shlomo Eger asks, we know the opinion of the Rambam is that chuppas nida, a chuppah that cannot be consummated, is not considered a valid chuppah. So if the halacha is that he may not consummate that marriage until 30 days, so how could that marriage be considered a valid chuppah according to the opinion of the Rambam? So Rav Shlomo Eger answers that chuppas nida is a woman who is also to have relations with midaraisa, and therefore says the Rambam, in such a situation you can't the chuppah is not considered a valid chuppah. This that we're learning, that one may not consummate a marriage when he's an oval on his wife, is only a din derabbanan for the various reasons that we've been discussing in our shir, and therefore even the Rambam would agree it's not in the same category as a chuppas nida. The other question is, we learned that Tosfos said that even though you could get married right away under certain circumstances, but not during the Shiva. So the question is, how do we understand this episode that at the cemetery, he already asked her to get married? How could he ask her to get married if how could he marry her? It's still in the middle of the Shiva. So one pshat that the Rishonim give is that they didn't actually get married. What it means is that he spoke that eventually, as soon as possible, we're going to get married in order to be able to help these young children be raised properly. Another pshat that the Meiri suggests, and when the Gemara says that he spoke to her at the basic forest, doesn't mean at the Kavura, because indeed, he's going to sit Shiva. During the Shiva, he can't get married to her. What it means is, says the Meiri, the minig was that on the last day of the Shiva, they would go visit the cemetery, visit that kever again. And when they went to visit the kever of his wife, that's when he had this discussion with her. A third pshat that I saw in the Rishonim is that, as we've learned so many times in our Masechta, that if the Shiva begins on Erev Yontif, Yontif lifts the Shiva. And that's what happened over here. He got married to her on the day he got the Levaya, and the Shiva began on Erev Yontif, and that Yontif was going to immediately lift the Shiva, and therefore there was not going to be any Shiva, and that's why he was allowed to get remarried. There's interesting tshuva in the Shalos Tshuvos L'Horus Nosson, Chelik Beis, Simen Peches. He says, the question that he discusses is, if someone lost his wife, can he get remarried to a woman with the same name? So he says that given the discussion that we just had in our Gemara, where the Gemara says that we should not get married so quickly because the first wife, he's still going to remember the first wife. So anything that could cause that they'll remember the first wife should be avoided. Of course, it seems that he says that if there's no one else and he needs to get remarried, we could perhaps be more lenient. Furthermore, he says, this isn't a case where a couple where the wife passed away. But if a couple divorced, so the relationship between the husband and the wife was obviously not a great relationship, they got divorced, this halacha doesn't apply. Furthermore, everything that we discussed in our Gemara is regarding when can a man who lost his wife get married to a woman. But the halacha regarding a woman getting remarried, so we know what halacha is, that a woman may not get remarried for 3 months. As the Gemara Masechta Yevamos teaches us, Chazal were makbid on Havchana, that we should wait that to know for sure that she's not pregnant from the first husband. And as the Gemara explains, even in a situation where we are certain that she's not pregnant, once Chazal made a gzeira, the gzeira stands under all circumstances, and a woman may not get remarried for 3 months after the death of her husband. The Rav Shlomo Kluger in his Sefer Tum Tam V'Das says that Bizman Hazeh, we are makbid that an oval should not get married within 30 days of the death of his wife. He says, even in a case where the person has not had children, and our Gemara says that if he wants to have the opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah Pur Revu, we do let him get married quicker. He says, in our time, we can't be certain that people are doing the mitzvah L'Shem Shemayim. And since we can't be certain that the people are doing the mitzvah L'Shem Shemayim, we should wait for 30 days. Tan Rabbanan. Shloshim, kol shloshim yoyim l'giyutz. For the first 30 days during the shloshim, a person may not wear freshly laundered press clothing, because that is, again, a lack of proper avelis. Echad kelim chadashim, and this rule applies to new clothing, vechad kelim mishonim, whether old clothing that yoytzim metachas hamachbash, that are going out from being pressed, and they should not be worn during the shloshim. Rabbi Omer, Rabbi disagrees. Rabbi says, lo asur ela kelim chadashim bavad. The only thing that we have to be concerned about our new clothing. Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Le'asru El Kelim Chadashim Levonim Bavad. He is even more lenient. He says it has to be new clothing that are white. But if they're new and they're not white, they're not that noticeable that they're new, and therefore there is no problem wearing them during the Shloshim. It says the Gemara, Abaye Nafak Begarda de Sarbala, he wore an old white garment, Karebi. Rava wore during the Shloshim b'chimtzos ramisa sumka charati, a new red garment that came from Rome, because he held like Rav Shimon that says that only new white garments may not be worn, and this was a red garment, and therefore there was no problem. We learned in the Mishnah, Nesha Amru, Shabbos Oilav and Amasekas, that Shabbos is considered one of the days of Shiva, but it doesn't break up the Shiva. Says the Gemara, Bnei Yehuda Bnei Galila, there was a machlokes between the people who lived in Yehuda and the people who lived in Galu regarding Avelis B'Shabbos. Hani Amri, Yesh Avelis B'Shabbos, there are Hilchos Avelis does apply in Shabbos for things that are Bitzina. For Hani Amri, and they said, Ein Avelis B'Shabbos, there is no Avelis in Shabbos. Everybody agrees at all, but everybody agrees that Shabbos is different than Yom Tov, as we learned earlier in the Masechta. And the reason that Shabbos is different than Yom Tov is because on Yom Tov, there's a Chiyuv Simcha. On Shabbos, there is no Chiyuv Simcha. And since there's no Chiyuv Simcha on Shabbos, there's only a rule of Oynik Shabbos. Shabbos can be counted towards the Shiva. Manda Amar Yesh Avelis B'Shabbos, the Mandam that says that there is Avelis on Shabbos, the reason he says that, the Ktani Oila, because we learned in our Mishnah that the Shabbos is counted toward the 7 days of Avelis. So if the Shabbos is counted towards the 7 days of Avelis, obviously there is Avelis on Shabbos. Manda Amar Ein Avelis B'Shabbos, the opinion that holds that there is no Avelis B'Shabbos. Why? Because the Ktani Ein Masekis, that there it doesn't separate. If there were no Avelis, why would it be considered one of the Shiva days? Of course, hashta Avelis Naga. If we're doing Avelis of Sukkim Abayi, it certainly doesn't interrupt it. It must be that the Mishnah is teaching us that even though we're not doing the Dinim of Avelis on Shabbos, they still don't interrupt the Avelis. Elok Tani Oila. But the Mishnah says that Oila isn't Oila an indication that there are Hilchos Avelis on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, it isn't accurate. Just what? Because either the Boilam is in the Sefer. We learned in the Sefer that when we speak about Yontif, ain't an oilim, that the days of Yontav aren't counted towards the Shiva. And we spoke even about Shavuos, Tana Reisha. That's why we spoke about Shabbos, which is also like Shavuos, both being just one day, oilim. But it doesn't mean that oilim, that it should be a day that we do Hilchus Avelis. It's not a day that we do Hilchus Avelis. We don't do Avelis on Shabbos. It's counted towards the Shiva. Well, the man d'amar yesh Avelis b'Shabbos. But according to Mandama, asked the Gemara that says that we do Avelis b'Shabbos, at least Dvorim Shabbat. But the Mishnah says, Oktani enim afsekis. So if Avelis is performed on Shabbos, so of course there's no reason that it should be considered a day that's not counted towards the Shiva. Answers the Gemara, Shem the Kaila Mishnah Sefer, because we learned at the end of the Mishnah that Regalim, Yom Tovim, Amav Sikim do interrupt because there is no Avelis on Yontif. That's why, says the Gemara, Tana Reisha, that's why in the Reisha we also said Einim Afsekis, even though it's obvious it's Einim Afsekis, because since Dvarim Shabbat Sina are performed on Shabbos, so it's certainly considered one of the days of Avelis. Says the Gemara, Lema Ketanoi. So the Gemara says that perhaps this question, if there's Avelis Betzina B'Shabbos or not, is actually a Machloikus Tanoim. The Brisa says, Misha Mesa Mutar Lefonov. If somebody lost a close relative, so he is considered an Oinen. And the Halacha, why an Oinen is not allowed to do any mitzvahs, why is he considered in the category of an Oinen, as we're going to learn, is because he's supposed to be involved in burying the Nifter. So says the Ran, if that's the case, if there's an Oinen who is not involved in the burial of this person, somebody passed away, and he has children who are taking care of the burial, and therefore his brothers and sisters, even though they're close relatives, they're going to be sitting shiva, but they're not involved in the preparation of the Levaya. The Ran says the din of an Oinen doesn't apply to them. But the Rosh disagrees. The Rosh says, and that's the way the Chochmas Sadim says, that even if you're not involved in the Levaya, in the preparation of the Levaya of the Snifter, for covet of the Levaya, you have to keep the halachas of Oininus. And therefore, the halach is, Oichel Bayis Acher. You should not eat in the same house as where this Nifter is. Vemloi Bayis Acher, if he doesn't have another home to eat in, Oichel Bayis Chaveri, eat in somebody else's home. Einle Bayis Chaveri, he doesn't have such an individual's home where he could eat. He should make a mechitza separating between him and the nifter and eat that way. If he doesn't have anything to make a mechitza out of, he should turn his face for oichel. We know from the Seder, they used to eat leaning on the left side. The oinen that's eating should not eat in that fashion. And in fact, the Taz says that he shouldn't sit at a table when he eats. He should eat in a very temporary manner. The Yerushalmi says that he should not eat as much as he normally eats. He should eat just as much as he needs to eat. And Rabbeinu Yoina explains that all of this is because the reason that we gave, we want him not to forget to be taking care of the nifter. And if he's going to get involved in eating, he may forget to take care of the nifter. Others explain that it's the isser is because it shows simcha. And therefore, even if somebody, as we're going to learn, is an oinen rachman l'tzlon on Shabbos, the halacha is that there's no aninus b'Shabbos, but they say that just like we just learned that there's avelis b'tzina b'Shabbos, aninus also to a degree is kept on Shabbos. It shouldn't be like a regular Shabbos meal. The halacha is they not eat meat or drink wine because the reason is for two reasons. Again, we're afraid that if he's going to start eating meat and drinking wine, he'll get involved in the eating and he'll forget to take care of the nifter. Another pshat is that these things represent enjoyment, meat and wine, and we don't want that this person should not be eating and drinking in such a fashion. Ve'im mevarach, he doesn't say brachas. Ve'im mezamen, he doesn't say brachas hamazon. Ve'im mevarachim olav, we don't say brachas on his behalf. Ve'im mezamen olav, we don't say brachas hamazon on his behalf. Upata b'krishma minatfilin, he doesn't say krishma tayrat tefillin. Tefillah, tefillin, become mitzvahs amurus b'tayra. He's part of all mitzvahs amurus b'tayra. But of course, all of the Rishonim point out, when we say that he's part of mitzvahs amurus b'tayra, that only means for mitzvahs asay. But he's not allowed to do an aveira. He's not allowed to do a mitzvahs lois asay. And in fact, the Paiskim discuss an interesting question. The Paiskim discuss, how do we look at netilas yadayim? Do we look at Netilas Yadayim as a mitzvah asay, that the oinen doesn't do, as we just said, an oinen doesn't do mitzvah asay? Or do we look at Netilas Yadayim as a mitzvah slice asay, that you're not allowed to eat without washing your hands? And since you're not allowed to eat without washing your hands, then it's a mitzvah slice asay that even an oinen, as we just said, is obligated. There's a very interesting discussion in the Paiskim regarding this question. We know that if somebody accidentally misses a tefillah, he makes up the tefillah that he missed by davening the next tefillah twice. So if somebody didn't daven shachris, he should daven mincha twice. Similarly, there's a halacha that if somebody missed Havdalah Motzei Shabbos, he can make Havdalah until Tuesday night. So now the question is, if somebody, Rechmona Tzlon, was an Oinen, Matzoi Shabbos, he misses Ma'ariv. If by Shachris the next morning, he's no longer an Oinen, he still doesn't daven Shachris twice. The reason he doesn't daven Shachris twice is because it's not that he missed davening Ma'ariv and Shachris is a way to make that up. He's not obligated to daven Ma'ariv. And there's no makeup for something that you didn't have to do. Now the question is, if somebody was an Oinen Matzoi Shabbos, and he was an Oinen Matzoi Shabbos, so obviously he didn't make Havdalah, and Havdalah cannot be made on his behalf. The question is, does he make Havdalah until Tuesday night? So the Meram Ratenberg says that that is not considered makeup. When we make Havdalah until Tuesday night, it's not shot like by a tefillah, that if I miss the tefillah, so I have an opportunity by the next tefillah to make it up. Rather, explains the Meram Ratenberg, the zman of Havdalah, when Chazal established that we have to make Havdalah, Chazal said that the zman of Havdalah is until Tuesday night. Of course, the proper time for making Havdalah is Matzoi Shabbos. But Chazal, when they established the rules of Havdalah, said that the time of Havdalah is until Tuesday night. And therefore, if this individual did not make Havdalah on Matzoi Shabbos, even though, as we just said, an Oinen is potter, he's not obligated to do the mitzvah, but that doesn't exempt him. If he's not an Oinen by Tuesday night, he still has a chiv, independent chiv of Havdalah, not because it's a makeup, and he should make Havdalah till Tuesday night. Then the Sivish discusses a question regarding somebody as an oinen ate a meal right before the kfura. Now, at that point, when he finished the meal, as we just learned in the Gemara, he doesn't say birchas hamazon. And then, after the kfura, he's still satiated from the meal that he ate before the kfura. Does he say birchas hamazon or not? So he says, how do we look at it? The Nesiva says, does we look at it like the Havdalah, that this man of benching remains until you're full? Or do we look at it like davening, and that Oinen, that Mr. Tefillah, doesn't make it up? So the Nesiva says that the Chiv of Birchas Hamazon is connected to our feeling of being satiated. And therefore, if you're still satiated, if the Oinen is still satiated after the Kvura, when he's no longer an Oinen, he should bench. Daruch HaShulchan disagrees. And he says that an Oinen that ate a meal when he was An einin is potter from Birchas Hamazon. Since he ate the meal, we don't look at the time when you're full. We look at the time that you ate the meal. And since that you ate the meal at that time, when you were an einin, even if now, after the kfur, you're still full, the Aruch HaShulchan says, you shouldn't say Birchas Hamazon. Says the Gemara, B'Shabbos, if some Rechman Tzlan is an Ayin on Shabbos, Meis V'Oichel, he could eat in the regular fashion, V'Oichel Bas of a Shoyse Yayin, he could eat meat and drink wine, U'Mavarech, and he makes brachas, U'Mazamini makes Birchas Hamazon, U'Mavarchin, he could be part of a group that's saying Birchas Hamazon, U'Mazamin Lov, he could want to lead the brachas, the Bracha Rishayna, in those days, particularly, one person said the Bracha Rishayna on behalf of everybody else. The Mazan Malov and he could lead the Zimun. The Chai B'Krishma B'Tfilah, U'B'Tfilin, U'B'Chal Mitzvah Amuris B'Tayra, and Shabbos, all the mitzvahs apply to him. And Gamaliel Oimer, B'Tayrish Neschai B'Elo, because he does Krishma and Tfilah, Neschai B'Kulon, he does all mitzvahs. Ask the Gemara, what is the Nafgamina between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Gamaliel? Says the Gemara, Tashma Shamita Ike Rinayu. The machlokes between them is, does an oinen on Shabbos allowed to do Tashma Shamita? According to the Tanakhama, said oinen should not do Tashma Shamita on Shabbos. According to Gamaliel, that says that he does all Nischai Bekulon, that means he does all mitzvahs. And when we say that he does all mitzvahs, the halacha is, it applies even to Tashma Shamita. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach in the Shalos Tshuvos Micha Shlomo discusses what about Krishma Alamita and a maple. And he says that a Oinen should say Krishma Alamita Alamapel and a map, the Brachas Amapel. They're not said as a mitzvah. They're said as a shmira, and therefore they could be said. The question that the Noi de Behuda discusses says is like this. If somebody's an Oinen during the days of Sfira. And that day, as we're learning now, he's potter mikol ha-mitzvahs. If he's not going to count Sfira that day, then he won't be able to count any more for the rest of the Sfira, the Sfira with a bracha. Because we know what halacha is, that if one misses counting the Sfira, even for one day with a bracha, misses counting the Sfira one day, he can never count any more with a bracha. On the other hand, we're learning now in a Gemara over and over that Oinen is part of Mikol HaMitzvahs. So what should this Oinen do? So the Noi de Behuda says what this Oinen should do is he should count that day that he's an Oinen, he should count that day without a bracha, that he's allowed to do, and then he'll be able to continue counting all the other days with, he could be able to continue counting the other days with a bracha. Particularly, going back to something that we discussed earlier, where we're not sure how to apply the halacha of aninus b'zman hazeh, where the people who are nifter are given over to a chevra kedisha. It's not that the family themselves are involved in the actual preparation of the levaya. And as we quoted earlier, the Yerushalmi and other Rishonim are of the opinion that under such circumstances, the din of aninus doesn't apply. So even though, as we said, that's not what we do, and our meaning is that aninus does apply even bezman hazeh, maybe for this much, we could certainly agree that he could count the sphere without a bracha. So the Gemara says, the Gemara wants to connect this to the question about aveils b'Shabbos, if there's aninus b'Shabbos or not. My labah ha-kamifki. The masover, the mandama that says that he's not allowed to do Tashma Shemita when he's an Oinen in Shabbos, is of the opinion that Yesh avails b'Shabbos. Amanda Omer, Rem Gamliel's opinion is that the Oinen in Shabbos could do all mitzvahs, is of the opinion ain't avails b'Shabbos. Says the Gemara Mai, who says that these two halachas travel together? Dilma, at Kalikama Tanakama Hosom, the reason the Tanakama said that avails applies by Oinen, Shunamei Semuta Lefonov. And therefore, even though it's Shabbos, we are strict, and the Tanakhama does say that some aninus, Tashma Shemitah, is also that Shabbos. Aval Hocha, when it's just during the Shiva, ain't Mesa Momotel Fonov, Loi, there's no Avelis in Shabbos at all. On the other hand, That can like come from the Hasam. The Katila Chalavei Solayu. A person who's an Oinin has not yet begun his Avelis. And therefore, we can be lenient during that period of its Shabbos. However, once in a case where the Shiva has already begun, since the Shiva has already begun, we have to be machmer, even on Shabbos, hachinami, and there should be avelus b'tzina b'Shabbos. So, we've learned here the halachas about an einin and about an oval. So we also just learned that if somebody, Rachman Tzlan, is an einin b'Shabbos, ein aninus b'Shabbos. We had a machlokes regarding Tashas Shemitah. But regarding all other mitzvahs, the Gemara says that all the mitzvahs should be performed, and he should eat, and he should drink. The question is, he's eating, he's drinking, he's going to shul, but it's all before the kfura. Does he already say Kaddish or not? So the Taz says, since at that point this neshama is no longer here, and the Kaddish is so important to the neshama, he should already say Kaddish on that neshama. The Shach disagrees. And the Shach holds that the Chiyuv Kaddish doesn't begin until after the Kfura. He says that the purpose of the Kaddish is by a person saying Kaddish for a person who is Nifter, is by helping that person be protected that he shouldn't go to Gehenim or should be redeemed from going to Gehenim. But that doesn't happen. The Neshama is not decided upon where it should go until after the Kfura. And since it's until after the Kfura, that's why we don't say Kaddish until after the Kfura, according to the Shach. The Chidah says, if that's the case, the Chidah asks a question, why do we ever say Kaddish on Shabbos? We know that the Gehenim isn't an operation on Shabbos, so why do Avelim say Kaddish on Shabbos? So he says that the reason Avelim say Kaddish on Shabbos, because Kaddish doesn't only help that the people on Gehenim should be redeemed from being Gehenim, it also helps those neshamas that are Baruch Hashem in Gan Eden to go higher and higher in Gan Eden. Gan Eden is certainly not closed on Shabbos, and that's why Kaddish should be recited on Shabbos to help the neshamas be able to have a lichtiger and a greater Gan Eden.